Welcome to Let's Talk Loyalty, an industry podcast for loyalty marketing professionals. I'm your host, Paula Thomas, and if you work in loyalty marketing, join me every week to learn the latest ideas from loyalty specialists around the world. Just before we share today's episode, I want to ask you to sign up to the Let's Talk Loyalty email newsletter. Our email newsletter is by far the best way for us to keep you up to date with all of the latest incredible loyalty stories we're sharing each week. It's also the easiest place for you to find our show notes, with links to everything mentioned in all of the episodes. You can sign up at letstalkloyalty.com. Hello and welcome to today's episode of Let's Talk Loyalty and Loyalty TV, featuring the latest news about one of the most exciting loyalty programs in Asia, based in Hong Kong. U Rewards was launched by DFI Retail Group in 2020, and it now serves almost 5 million members. The group is a leading Pan-Asian retailer, covering food, health and beauty, home furnishings, restaurants and other retail businesses, with interests in 13 countries and territories, operating over 10,500 outlets and employing more than 216,000 team members. U Rewards allows members to earn points at over 2,500 outlets, including 7-Eleven, IKEA, KFC and Pizza Hut. Our guest today is Anushri Khosla, U Rewards Director. Anushri shares all of the latest propositions, including the launch of U Stamps, their gamification and mission-based propositions. I hope you enjoy my conversation with Anushri Khosla. So, Anushri Khosla, welcome to Let's Talk Loyalty and Loyalty TV.
Thank you so much. I'm very happy to be here.
It's very exciting, Anushri. I know you're doing incredible work in Asia with this phenomenal program. We've had the program on the show once before, but it's your first experience with us. So thrilled to be able to have you in the Loyalty TV studio, because truly what you guys are doing is highly innovative. So our audience is going to be very excited to hear all of the latest stories. So as you know, we always do start our conversation in exactly the same way. And it's sometimes an easy question, sometimes a difficult one. But coming from your perspective in a super competitive environment, I'm going to, of course, ask you, what is your personal favorite loyalty program, Anushri?
Oh, well, Paula, considering you already shot me down on my first choices of U Rewards, to be honest, I did have to think long and hard about this, and I kind of thought about it across the spectrum, hotels, frequent flyer programs, shopping, and then, of course, you know, it is you, but if I had to think of another one, I would have to say Starbucks Rewards. And the reason why I would say that is, and I was thinking back, you know, I'm a coffee lover, and, you know, having lived in different countries, that's one program that I've used across markets. And I think what I feel is great about the program has been how seamlessly integrated it's become, particularly with payments, and that is the struggle of any loyalty program when you first launch, right? How do we make this pop-up wallet? How do we make it ubiquitous? And I think with this whole integration with payments, that has been the case for Starbucks. And obviously on top of that, I know they've had their challenges with restructuring the program over the past few years, and then, you know, now the stars, but I think it just works. There are lots of little, you know, fun elements along the way.
Yeah.
You know, the upsizes, the birthday, the coupons.
Yeah.
And then the fundamental functional nature of the program, you know, being linked to the payments and your wallet.
Yeah.
And then, of course, now, you know, we've been following the story with Odyssey and things like
yes.
that.
Yes. So, yeah.
I think all in all, I'd have to say Starbucks if I had to choose one that's not my own.
Okay, fair enough. Well, of course, you're quite right to be super proud of U Rewards. It is an exceptional program, and we'll be talking today exactly about why that is. But Of course, Starbucks Rewards is the one that does come out always top of the list. So it is the one that is most frequently answered on this show. And to your point, it very much is around, I suppose, the payment functionality on top of, I suppose, the opportunity to build that frequent behavior, which, as we know, is already something that people want to do when it comes to delicious coffee. So Starbucks is doing incredible work. What I've also noticed they do, and I don't know if it's happened or you know, obviously different markets around the world are quite different, but certainly I remember noticing in the US that they're really increasing the opportunity for people to redeem more quickly. So this idea almost, not quite instant gratification, but almost immediate. So the last time I checked, for example, you could redeem stars just for a shot of flavor in your Starbucks coffee. And that was something that could be done, I think, maybe in the first visit, maybe the second visit, but certainly something very accessible. So I think that's something that you also told me previously is an important principle that you believe, certainly in the Asian market for loyalty programs. Would that be fair to say?
Yes, absolutely. And I think that was one of the fundamental, when we first started out on this journey, I think it was almost 5 years ago.
Yeah.
One of the and at that point, there were, you know, many decision points and crossroads, like, you know, should this be a digital-only program?
Yeah.
Should we have a card, for example? Because back then,
yes,
those were still conversations to be had.
Yeah.
And the other conversation was around redemption. And we believe that particularly in Asia, and more so now everywhere else in the world, I think it's very hard to make people wait for months and months. And it's almost like there's this pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. And
yeah,
we wanted to kind of turn that on its head, to say that this is a program that allows everybody to redeem.
Mm-hmm.
And early on, we started out with things like, you know, you spend 100 Hong Kong dollars and with 100 points, you could get a Snurpee at 7-Eleven. Or,
okay.
You know, fish bowls.
Yeah. So you mentioned the thinking started about 5 years ago, Anushri, and yes, you launched this program, I know, in 2020. So just actually now, as we enter 2024, you're coming up on 3.5 years old. So will you tell us the story of the entire program? Where did the idea come from? I think for anyone who lives in, certainly in Hong Kong and now Singapore and many other countries, it was probably an obvious idea and something that was perhaps long overdue. But that's easy to say now that it's been done. But at the time, I suppose it was a huge idea and is proving to be exactly that. It's delivering at scale. But take us back to the very origins of where did it come from, the parent company as well, because again, that's a brand that our audience in the US, UK might not be familiar with. So really tell us the full story, if you don't mind.
Okay, sure. So this goes back to possibly early 2019 or even before that. I've been part of this journey from the summer of 2019.
Okay.
But, you know, even before that, so DFI Retail Group is a part of the Jardine Matheson Group.
Okay.
And the parent company obviously has interest in retail with DFI, and within that, essentially in Hong Kong, we have the largest grocery, the largest health and beauty player, the biggest convenience store footprint.
Yeah.
And then with the group, also have significant presence in F&B with KFC, Pizza Hut, the Max Sims Group.
Amazing.
And the DFI Retail Group is also the master franchisee, franchisor for IKEA.
Okay.
Right. So I don't think anywhere in the world is there an opportunity for coalition programs that's this ripe and just kind of waiting to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we have this fantastic footprint in the family.
Yeah.
As well as, you know, a very compact, very efficient geographical market like Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And I've been in the loyalty space in this market for some time. We would often wonder, you know, why don't they do anything? You know, why don't they just get everything together? Because
yeah,
it's all there.
Yeah.
It happened.
Yeah.
And I think it took sort of the desire to digitally transform DFI retail.
Yeah.
From where then CEO. And then the coalition loyalty program essentially became the first and biggest step in the digital transformation.
Yeah.
Of the retail business. And also, you know, with the market leadership in Hong Kong, you know, it also became a really good opportunity to cement and protect our market share in Hong Kong, and also give back to the consumers that have loved and trusted these brands for many, many years. So like any other coalition program, that was the genesis of it. And from there on, early in 2019, a small team was put together to kind of go, knocking on the doors of the brothers and the sisters and the family, essentially, to say, look, we're going to do this. And from the very beginning, the impression was that you have only one shot at launching something like this. And for GFI, for the Jardine Matheson Group in Hong Kong, it's got to be big. And we do want to make a mark, and we want to launch with a very solid program. And the bunch of us that came from the loyalty industry, from different markets, different programs, we kind of knew what good looks like. So we had a very clear vision around what we wanted to do. So the fact that it was going to be a digital-only program, I think, was quite a bold move in 2019. And then, thinking through a $1, 1 point proposition, making sure that all our partners signed up to the same base proposition, getting a fantastic co-brand partnership with Hang Seng Bank, the stuff we talked about in your redemption. So it's about a year and a half before we launched. And during this period, obviously, Hong Kong was going through its own struggles
Transition.
in terms of the then protests and then going into COVID. So we finally launched in July 2020, in the middle of lockdown, which was a fantastic achievement in itself. And from there on, I guess, no look.
Indeed, absolutely. And again, just for our global audience, DFI stands for Dairy Farm International. And am I correct on that?
No, so it used to be called the Dairy Farm Group. About 2 years ago, the corporate name was changed to DFI Retail Group.
Got
And
it.
this welcome Max, 7-Eleven, and then obviously Maxim's, KFC, Pizza Hut, and other partners like Shell and Hang Seng Bank in the program.
Incredible, incredible. So digital only, remarkable breadth of partnerships, literally from day one. So where have you gone on the journey from then? I mean, you passed a comment to me last time we spoke that I think practically every adult in Hong Kong is a member of U Reward. So clearly you have done something right, a lot right actually. To me, there's a couple of things that stand out. So obviously, getting so many partners together. You've mentioned the likes of IKEA, the likes of 7-Eleven, the likes of KFC, these incredible brands, which again, our global audience are familiar with. So, first of all, it sounds like you got everybody on board, everybody engaged in driving one program for the entire Hong Kong market. And I think that vision alone, in terms of its scale, is very inspiring. And I'm guessing that's something that your partners did, I suppose, buy into from the beginning, because with that level of commitment from every single retail brand in the group, it just brings enormous power. And I think it also, you've talked about at the point of sale, there's massive engagement from all of the staff, from all of those brands. So how did you manage to get everybody so excited?
Yeah, so I think it works both ways, right? One is that, we had a fantastic lineup of brands, market leading brands, but it did take a lot of work also to bring everybody on board consistently, happily, and actually deliver for them. Because it's one thing to get everybody into a program of this size and scale. That is an achievement in itself. But then to consistently, maintain the engagement, the sort of strategic buy-in from the leadership. And I think that one of the key ways in which we've done that is that we have genuinely tried to work very hard to deliver a good program for customers.
Of course.
Right, and if your customers are happy, then there's this, I always say there's this push and pull, right? As an organization, as a retailer, you can sort of push the program to customers. We have fantastic, prompting at the cashiers. We've got visibility. We'll talk. I would love to talk a little bit about our launch campaign. So that's the push. The pull really is coming because customers see value in the program. They see value in the engagement, and that kind of creates demand as well for more and more. And then, you know, collectively as a group, we sort of want to continuously deliver to the customers. So it then becomes quite a happy relationship. And if everybody's happy, then you know, you keep going on. And I think that's where we've been for the last couple of years on this.
For sure, yeah. And we've often said it on this show, Anusha, you've probably heard us say this, but that level of integrity from the C-suite at the very beginning with that vision is absolutely essential in terms of everybody buying into it and believing it. Because certainly my experience, again, totally different industry, it wasn't a coalition, but it was coming from a brand that wanted to really delight customers. And I think people feel that. And I don't know why, you know, that is the reality, but it is the reality. And you mentioned the launch campaign. For sure, that's something I want you to share now, because I remember first becoming aware of your rewards with a very cheesy tune. And I loved it, you know. It was almost like Cliff Richard was singing, you know, this really famous old tune that everybody knows the world over. And it was being done in the Hong Kong market with similar personalities and at scale. You guys invested above the line in a way that I think very few countries have done. So tell us your experience of the launch campaign, because it was obviously incredibly powerful.
Yeah, so I think it was, number one, there was a lot of executive sponsorship and buy-in, and there's no way that we could have done it without that across the group, across all of our partners, right?
Yeah.
And like I said earlier, we wanted to make it big.
Yeah.
So from the beginning, it was going to be a very big launch campaign.
Yeah.
And I think we felt quite strongly about the name. That we're not going to go for a name that implies loyalty or, you know, bonus or points. And the idea at that point from the marketing team was that we would like to go with something that is, we wanted a sonic brand, right? So it should sound like something.
Interesting. Nice.
Conversation around, you know, when you scan it, the boss system should go and make some sort of a sound or, you know, silly things like that. But we started out with what we call an empty vessel with the name You.
Okay.
And we thought that we will shape this as a brand as we go along.
Okay.
And given that the brand was, you know, the word You is, it's a sound. It's just a sound. It really doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. And
yes, there was a pun on, you know, Y-O-U, but it was always just meant to be a brand that we will then fill with personality.
Yeah.
And the way to do that was with a song.
Uh-huh.
And so we bought the rights to Billy Joel's Uptown Girl. And Uptown Girl actually had a story in Hong Kong, because in the 80s, a very famous Cantonese pop artist called George Lang actually sung Uptown Girl in Cantonese, and it was a big hit.
Okay.
And so what we did for the launch was we got George Lang and his son Alex. And between them, George and Alex, they kind of straddled all of Hong Kong, because when we talked about our target customer, it's actually everybody from, I don't know, 18 to 80.
Yeah,
right?
Of course. Yeah.
Because it's a mass market retail anchored program. So we had George and Alex sing a You song to the tune of Uptown Girl, which was also a song that resonated with, you know, a predominantly Cantonese customer base.
Yeah.
And so the song was a big hit. It was a big, massive outdoor launch campaign. The stores we painted the town blue, and what you see behind me is what we call our universe.
Yeah.
There's a lot of on the word You.
Brilliant.
In our business.
Yeah.
So we painted this universe, and we had it all over the city, all over the stores. The song was playing everywhere in the MTR stations. We've got, you know, hundreds of stores all over Hong Kong.
Yeah.
So actually, something very odd or unique emerged out of it. When they sing the song George and Alex, they sing Why You, because it kind of spells out the word, and that was also our intended, you know, customer education, that this Why You is You.
Yes.
And of course, our store team members were listening to this song like 24/7, and they started calling the program Why You You. And then we found very quickly that customers started calling it YUU. And what we set to create as You Rewards, essentially just customers started calling it YUU and they loved it.
Yeah.
So the song obviously generated a lot of discussion. It is what we call an earworm. People love it, people hate it. 3 years in, we still have people posting stuff about our song. I mean,
yeah,
you don't forget it.
Totally.
And that, so the brand sort of evolved. And it took about a year for us to actually start calling it Why We Knew Ourselves. And,
yeah.
And that's when we knew that, you know, there's no looking back now. This is what it is. And so in Hong Kong, it's Why You You. And in Singapore, it's You Rewards.
Okay.
But it has been quite a phenomenal journey. And I think with the brand, really, if you think of what makes this program special,
yeah.
I think the love and engagement that people have with the brand is the secret sauce, in a sense.
Oh, because I love that. Yeah.
It's one thing to be a strong loyalty program, but Why You You Now has been consistently rated among the top brands in Hong Kong.
Mm.
I mean, with the likes of HSBC, so it's HSBC, Cathay Pacific, and Why You You.
Yeah.
So it's really captured the minds and hearts of consumers in Hong Kong, and I think that's what has made it even more special. That we've ended up not just building a program, but also creating a new young brand in a very short period of time.
Incredible. Yeah. You know, like the whole purpose of this show, Anushree, is exactly what you've just shared. So, you know, we're not here to talk about points, you know. Talking about loyalty is talking about emotional loyalty. And to hear a beautiful loyalty brand being created, powered by sound, as you've said, sonic, audio, a song. I can even hear it in my mind right now, Uptown Girl, honestly. And I'm glad you named it because I'd forgotten the name of the song. But honestly, to create that depth of engagement, I mean, there's very few case studies in my mind in the world of loyalty that have achieved that level of cut through. And I didn't even realize, and I've seen the video many times, and I'll make sure we do link to it in the show notes, I hadn't realized it was father and son that were singing. It was just, again, the cheesiness of it, the appeal, the familiarity, the joy, and of course, the simplicity. Because at the end of the day, as you said, Y-O-U is, you know, the obvious word, and then Y-U-U is an education. Put it all together and the breadth of the coalition, you guys just did an amazing job.
Yeah, I think, I mean, credit to the whole team. It has been fantastic. And
yeah.
You know, on that subject of points, I have to often tell people this, whether it's internally, externally, stakeholders, that,
yeah.
You know, this program is, points is just, it's sort of the base.
Yeah.
Right? So when we talk about the program, when we talk about it, we hardly ever talk about the points. The points are essentially just a vehicle. And what YUU has become in Hong Kong is, you know, I know you have a global audience, but I have to call this out. In Hong Kong, there is a phrase called JETSO.
Okay.
J-E-T-S-O.
Mm-hmm.
And loosely translated into English, it's a play on a Cantonese word, but loosely translated into English, it means a smart, savvy shopper.
Nice.
Right?
Okay.
Hong Kong customers are extremely deal-oriented, promotionally sensitive. They love to save money. They love to think of themselves as being smart, right?
Yeah.
And so we've been able to leverage on that JETSO element.
Okay.
And so it's the 100-point redemptions, it's the free, you know, buckets of fried chicken, it's movie tickets, it's the welcome vouchers. So it's really, and in the past few years, obviously things have been difficult for the average shopper in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And so YUU becomes a way of saving money.
Mm-hmm.
It makes feel smart. It also gives you that little bit of joy and happiness in your shopping experience. So
brilliant.
I think that's really what we've been striving towards in, you know, in the last few years since the launch.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I'll get you to bring us up to date now in a second, of course, Anushree, in terms of where you've got to, again, in such a short period of time. But I can't not comment because of that word that you mentioned, because in Ireland, we have a cliche, which is being on the pig's back. So I worked for a brand which was loosely in the same space, nothing at the scale of what you're doing, but it's called pigsback.com. And again, it's that idea of smart, savvy shoppers who love to get a great deal and that sense of engaging because everybody's getting something, everybody's benefiting. So it's almost like that idea that the rising tide lifts all boats. So I can hear that your rewards was designed with that very clear intention from the outset. Again, invested very heavily in your above the line campaign. I know the last time we spoke with you guys, there was the whole launch of the e-commerce part of the proposition, bringing it into a much broader platform. So would you bring us up to date in terms of where is your rewards now, including the geographical expansion to Singapore?
Sure. So with regard to Hong Kong first, the idea of this app was always, we recognize that a majority of our shoppers still shop with us offline. And Hong Kong is a market, you know, there's so many stores. It's all very, very convenient. Yeah. Homes are small. You don't have big fancies and, you know, big garages and basements to stock up. So a lot of our customers do walk through our doors every day. And the idea originally of U Rewards was to be able to build that digital connection during offline shopping as well. So what we've got to was a point where I'm going to the store, I'm going to go and buy my groceries and welcome, let me see what I've got on the app. Maybe I have a coupon or I have a voucher or so, right?
Yeah.
So that's where was the first sort of connection from digital to store.
Mm-hmm.
And now we obviously have a lot of promotions in store where you scan QR codes, you can unlock promotions, you can scan to redeem. So that was one area of omni-channel engagement.
Okay.
And then, you know, as during COVID with the accelerated growth of e-commerce, we also brought what we call the U Online Shop in,
mm-hmm.
Which is one of the ways in which our members can shop. With several of our brands, including, you know, ordering KFC or you know, even ordering a pizza online in addition to your groceries and your health and beauty needs.
Okay.
So that's one element.
Yeah.
Which is within our core anchor partners. And then from there on, as we thought about expanding our partner network, you know, I know this is a loyalty channel, so you well understand that in areas like fashion, it's very difficult to find single anchor partners because, you know, the market is fragmented. There's different segments, different, you know, people like different kinds of things. And so U Fashion was our kind of next extension from our own partner e-commerce into bringing in, you know, 50 plus fashion brands into the app where ultimately, it is about earning points,
mm-hmm.
And then obviously there's a lot of accelerators and multiplier points through U Fashion.
Yeah.
And now very recently we've launched U Travel, which essentially brings together again a bunch of aggregators where people can book flights, hotels, you know, local tours and excursions.
Yeah.
Again with the $1 one point sort of always on proposition.
Amazing.
So it started out as just points, then kind of went to points and engagement,
mm-hmm.
and kind of creating all of this digital omnichannel engagement. And now we're looking to expand the universe, so to speak, to give our customers more opportunities to earn and burn out.
Amazing. Yeah. And you use the terminology, of course, anchor partners, which again is within the DFI group. And then I know you've expanded affiliates as well, if I'm not mistaken, Anushree.
Anchor partners is not just within the DFI group.
Okay.
Anchor partners is our sort of core partners.
Okay.
With Intertrade, Hang Seng Bank, Maxim's, Shell as well.
Amazing.
And so those are anchor partners are essentially our earn and burn partners,
gotcha.
Plus the bank.
Okay.
And then with fashion and travel, mm-hmm. we're essentially taking the affiliate route.
Okay.
Because ultimately we are a sort of mass market.
Yeah.
And we're not going to be a frequent flyer type program.
Of course.
However,
yeah.
Given our customers travel, they shop, they fly, we want to be able to provide them you know, non-exclusive opportunities, and that's why with fashion and travel, we have a slew of partners, and so it is dependent on the consumer's choice. Whereas for our anchor partners, it's always exclusive, it's always very deep, strategic, you know, relationships where we're not just running a loyalty program, but we're also working with them to kind of drive their business objectives through the data, through the personalization and all of that.
Absolutely.
So and that's the key difference between Anchor and Affiliate.
Yes, absolutely. And am I right that you say universe and you spell it with a Y-U-U, or am I just being...
Anything that sounds like you is spelled with a Y-U.
That's hilarious. Great, great. And then the Singapore launch, tell us about that. That's very exciting.
So DFI, the DFI Retail Group, has also a significant presence in Singapore, in food as well as health and beauty. And the idea was to take the new brand into other markets beyond Hong Kong. And obviously Singapore is the first. Mm-hmm. And we are very happy with the sort of success that we've seen in Singapore. It's still, it's called You in Singapore, not YUU. That seems like a Hong Kong only name. Again, there's a fantastic partner lineup there as well.
Beautiful.
It is a strategic partnership with another organization, so mm-hmm. we don't run the program directly, but it does have the brand name as well as the fundamental principles of the program are quite similar.
Amazing, amazing. And just to recap those principles, Anushree, because again, you know, our audience are very familiar with coalition, but there's different ways, of course, of doing it. And I like, for example, that you've got a base proposition that all partners at a minimum buy into. I also remember you mentioning, I suppose, really ensuring that all of the partners have a good voice, that there's great governance across it so that they really feel the benefits and that you are, as you said, dedicated to growing their business. Because I think long gone are the days where you can launch a program and have one brand that's profiting and everybody else is fueling it. So I do think that that balance has had to be an important principle for a lot of coalition as we, I suppose, mature. Any other principles that you think are important, either from your rewards or, I suppose, just in general for loyalty programs, given your expertise, because you've been in this sector a long time. I know we didn't actually reference it too much at the beginning, but you've done banking, you've done the tech side, and you've done this incredible launch as well. And even the airline space, I know you worked with Asia Miles as well. So what do you think are other important principles to be thinking about in 2024?
You know, you talked about the governance and the partners. And I think, so when we think about why we exist, I think it's very clear that, yes, we've built a strong brand, we have fantastic engagement, but none of this would be possible without our partners.
Yeah. Right?
So that is the reason. So there's two reasons why we exist. One is to drive incremental sales and value to our partners.
Mm-hmm.
And the second is to help our common customers, which is our customers and our partners' customers, to save more and feel valued.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I think that is the fundamental, and we try and stay true to that every time there is a decision to be made.
Mm.
And that's why making sure that all partners have an equal voice in the program, making sure that we don't grow fast. You know, there are areas around monetization and things like that that programs of our size will look at, but we've been very intentional, very conservative upon, you know, expanding the partner network because we want to be able to take really good care of the partners that we have in the program.
Lovely.
So that is the key principle. And then I think the next one would be customer first, because I think you can you know, you can build whatever you want, but if it does not work for the market, then it means that some of our decisions around decisions have been anchored around we're a mass market retailer, and this program needs to make sense for, you know, the average, I don't know, 50-year-old Hong Kong lady walks into the store every single day to buy her you know, vegetables and pork and meat. And then she's going to go to the store the next day again to buy the same thing.
Yeah.
So we try and not lose sight of the customer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's been something that we've held very close in the past couple of years. And that's been also responsible for some of the successes along the way.
Indeed.
And then the support of the partners, like I said.
Yeah.
We're nothing actually without the system and the universe.
Yes, yeah. I feel like, you know, I'm long overdue a visit actually to Hong Kong myself, Anushree, a city I have loved on every occasion that I've visited. I know, again, it's been changing a huge amount, but I'm really, really looking forward to getting back to Hong Kong, please God, in the next kind of 12 months or so, just to experience and see U Rewards in action in its home market, because it really has achieved something quite special.
Yes, please do that. We'd love to show you around.
Amazing.
That would be lovely. Thank
Amazing.
You.
Fantastic. So you've talked us through, I suppose, the original vision, the story, the evolution, as you said, not losing sight of offline, but expanding into online, the importance of that omni-channel experience, which I do think is, I suppose, something that everybody is striving to achieve. It sounds like you guys are probably further ahead than most of us, because it's been a core part, as you said, of your digital transformation, which I always find is a really good opportunity for loyalty programs and loyalty professionals to be part of, I suppose, a company-wide initiative and to be really driving it in a significant way. Obviously, you're expanding geographically. So I guess the only other question then is, what is next for U Rewards or YUU?
Yeah, I think what's next is really, it is, again, you know, we've obviously captured consumers at scale. We have almost 5 million members now in a country with 7.5 million people. You know, we've got a fantastic partner mix.
Yeah.
We've got customer engagement, great transaction penetration. Now I think it's more around how do we understand our consumers better?
Okay.
And then how do we give them more engaging, more relevant offers and rewards in order to then ultimately also drive our partner sales.
Yes.
So a lot of the, you know, what's next is around personalization, is around how we're able to build the user experience for our customers.
Yeah.
So if I am, you know, if I'm a mom with young children, then, you know, what I see in the app should be quite different from, you know, the young guy buying beers at 7-Eleven every day. We're on that journey. I think I would say we're like 50-60% there.
Okay.
But then that's the distance that we now want to cover. And we want people to be able to see that, to be able to feel that.
Yeah.
That this is a personalized, you know, customized experience for me.
Yeah.
And I think that's one key sort of investment and growth area for us looking ahead.
And am I right in saying, I didn't ask you as yet actually, but gamification seems to be something that for you, and I guess for all of the Asian market, is something that is very appealing. And, you know, from my perspective, it does create that wonderful fun opportunity, even beyond transactions. And I do think particularly Asia has that appetite for daily engagement. So would you mind just talking us through a little bit about how you're doing that?
Yeah, so we're doing that actually in three ways. I didn't talk about this, but we've got use stamps. And I think we're probably the only loyalty program globally that has been able to build a successful stamp program within a loyalty program. And this is it's the typical coffee chop, 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 right? And it's a digital stamp program. So for every 5 coffees you buy, say at 7-Eleven, you get 1 free. Or every, you know, 6 breakfasts at KFC, or, you know, 5 boxes of blueberries and so on, right? So that's one element where, you know, then buy something 5 times, get 1 free, again, plays to the instant gratification needs of a lot of consumers today.
Yeah.
It's also very simple and easy to understand.
Yeah.
And initially, there was a feeling that this would cannibalize the loyalty program, but we always felt that actually it would strengthen it. And we did see our transaction penetration across the partners that had successful kind of, you know, that successfully landed stamps went up.
Okay.
So it actually strengthens loyalty. So we have a very strong, I think at any point we have about 25, 30 different stamp promotions running across our partners.
Wow.
So that's new stamps.
Okay.
The second pillar is around games.
Yeah.
And a couple of times every year we do, and these games are at the YUU level.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the chicken that I talked about, the claw machine game. We're running a Christmas giveaway game right now in the app.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, we want to try and build, you know, people in Asia and Hong Kong particularly love characters, love merchandise.
Yeah.
So we're trying to build on that. Again, you know, hearing from the customer,
mm-hmm.
Trying to build potentially areas that we can, you know, actually have physical manifestations of the brand.
Mm-hmm.
So the chicken game and the series of games that we have is that second pillar.
Okay.
The third pillar is something we've launched very recently, and that's You Challenges.
Okay.
It essentially is mission-based activities that could be at a partner or across partners. We just launched a month ago. We've seen some great results. And I think from a broader program perspective as well, it unlocks a lot of opportunity to drive cross-partner, drive spend-based targets, make it also quite fun. Like if you go to 15 partners in the next, you know, 5 days, you get XYZ. So stamps, challenges, and games. And that's sort of the proposition we've built in the past 2 years.
I can't believe it's taking us till this part of the conversation to hear that. That's amazing. I mean, all of those, or each of those in their own right, Anushree, would be a massive new proposition evolution. So to launch all three, and the one I guess particularly I'm curious about is, are you saying that the stamps proposition, for example, is in addition to the points? So the member does collect stamps and collect points, so they get both benefits?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, it goes back to that fundamental principle of no matter what, it's $1, 1 point, right? And anything else is on top. So you're obviously, you know, earning points when you're buying your coffees, but for every five coffees, if you, you know, if you start a stamp promotion, you get one for free. And this is where, you know, the partners have been extremely supportive, and it's also driving sales and value back to them. We see more people drinking more coffee.
Yeah.
You know, when you're into the coffee stamp launch.
Totally. And I know I can't ask you, but my curiosity about the business case, it must be phenomenally exciting for the 7-Elevens or any of your stamp partners to see, as you said, the upsell, the cross-sell, the extra footfall. So to leverage one, I suppose, core product to get people into the store. And then I'm sure, you know, there's amazing behavior that's being observed as well. So I know all of those kind of things are too commercially sensitive to ever discuss on the show. But I suppose the audience knows that it's got to be working for everybody for it to be that powerful.
Yeah, I think it's, and it goes back to the point, if it's working for the partners, if it's working for the customers, then it works.
Exactly.
And I think it's our job to just
make
it happen in a way that it works. And that's what, as a team, we have a bunch of fantastic people that have been part of this journey, some of them from the start.
Yeah.
And there is a lot of passion, a lot of love for the brand, for the program. Passion for loyalty, actually, here in the business, which has been extremely fulfilling.
Yeah. And I was going to exactly finish on that exact same comment, Anushree, that, you know, to bring in senior people with specific loyalty expertise is just the ultimate recipe for success. Because I think so many brands we've seen, you know, might try and build a loyalty proposition in-house because it always looks easy from the outside when you see, oh, it's a points program, it's fine, we'll just get a platform and we'll figure it out. But I think to bring in loyalty experts, like clearly U Rewards did from the very outset, and to have the depth of expertise that you guys have had from the very beginning is super inspiring. And the success is evident in terms of where U Rewards is today. So I guess from my side, the important thing is for us to keep the conversation going. I want to make sure that we definitely continue to hear what U Rewards is doing in the months and years ahead. So listen, that's all of the questions from my side, Anushree. Is there anything else that you wanted to mention for our audience before we wrap up?
No, I think that's pretty much it. When I look back, and I think this is where I am probably just reiterating something I've already said, right? To us, this program is not about the points. It's not only about points. It's really about driving engagement and connection.
Yeah.
And then going back to grow the business. So
yeah,
I think that is key really to the success of any program of this size and scale.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty much what I want to just kind of leave with parting comments.
Indeed.
But thank you so much. It was, I think every time I talk about this journey, it feels new all over again. And it has been an absolutely fantastic experience for many of us here in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
So I think you need to come and you need to have a look for yourselves.
Say no more. Absolutely. Consider it at least on the intention list and we'll make sure to make that
awesome.
Happen. So what I'm here coming through is immense pride. So I want to wish you continued success and absolutely huge congratulations. So Anushree Khosla, you Rewards Director at DFI Digital. Thank you so much from Let's Talk Loyalty and Loyalty TV.
Thank you so much, Paula. Thank you for having me.
This show is sponsored by The Wise Marketeer, the world's most popular source of loyalty marketing news, insights, and research. The Wise Marketeer also offers loyalty marketing training through its Loyalty Academy, which is already certified over 500 executives in 38 countries as certified loyalty marketing professionals. For more information, check out thewisemarketeer.com and loyaltyacademy.org. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Let's Talk Loyalty. If you'd like us to send you the latest shows each week, simply sign up for the Let's Talk Loyalty newsletter on letstalkloyalty.com and we'll send our best episodes straight to your inbox. And don't forget that you can follow Let's Talk Loyalty on any of your favorite podcast platforms. And of course, we'd love for you to share your feedback and reviews. Thanks again for supporting the show.